connection to the radio is okay. We have difficulties. One of the employees over there left, and then the manager tried to do the job, but did he find another one? And we learned the trick how to connect ourselves directly. Let's worship the Lord with number 36. I think if we all associate this number, a mighty fortress is our God, a great hymn by Luther, who declared one time in that beautiful castle what he believed the scriptures were teaching, not with the idea to start another church, but with the idea that those who were wrong will turn around and confess their sins. So let's sing with great joy, a mighty fortress is our God.
Oh,
Our scripture for this month is in Psalm 100 and verse 2 and in verse 4. This is a dedication of David in the temple. And the word of God said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And let's be thankful as we turn the pages of our hymn book to number 403. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Pastor will preach a challenging sermon to believers today, conquering the giants in your life. And the believer only is the one who can conquer the giant in your life, and it's because of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so in that challenging sermon, I want to sing this song who speaks about all of us, soldiers of Christ, arise. Never be defeated. Let's sing together. Take a few minutes to let you know what's happening today. We have a great plan for you to stay here in church and eat all together with us. It's the last Sunday of the month, and we have fellowship dinner. And the fellowship luncheon is extended to all our guests. And we do this to keep the church in a close relationship together. And then the second service is at 2 o'clock. Pastor will speak in Pacific Hill, and I hope some of you could come. I will speak of Mark 5:36. Don't be afraid, just believe. And we hope that will be a great challenge to those people over there. There will be no evening service or classes today. And as a matter of fact, I bring to your attention during the month of August, the afternoon service ends at 2 o'clock in Pacific Hill. Then here in church will be a tournament, a basketball tournament at 3 o'clock for three Sundays, first, second, and third, and also a deacon board meeting, first, second, and third, to solve a lot of details, problems, and that we need to put it together, and especially as we launch, God's willing, on September, the Bible distribution program with our brother Pythagoras, leading us into the areas that we will put a Bible in every home. And for those who are listening on the internet and on radio, yes, it is a King James Bible. As the publisher asked me when I asked for 5,000 Bibles in 5 years, he said, "Are you sure that you want to give a King James Bible?" And then they called me again. "We are ready to send it, but are you sure you want a King James Bible?" They thought I was a foreigner and I was making a mistake. And what happened is there are new translations of the Bible. They are more popular, but I believe in the accuracy of the King James Bible and in the certainty that there is a Bible that will help all of us. On Wednesday, Pastor is in extensive preparation on Wednesday. Candice can tell you all the copies that we made. And this Wednesday, the reading on these critical apologetic program that we have between the Roman Catholic Catechism and the Bible, this Wednesday is going to be serious. It's going to be about baptism. It's going to be about confession and penance, the three major steps to salvation in the Catholic Church. We're going to challenge them with the scripture this Wednesday. You will have the papers. And by the way, if you want papers from the beginning to this point, we have it and will be available to you as your request. The prayer meeting Los Amigos will be on Friday the follow. And for those who are listening and request through email a lot of questions about my surgery, I have to tell them that according to the latest meeting of the doctors, they will look to me tomorrow and they will plan to see. I have to go through a series of MRIs, checking to draft a picture of the palate in order to drill seven little bullets over there, they said. And so the surgery, which will last 6 to 8 hours, will be on the 27th, tentatively, and I will confirm it to you. So Pastor will be able to preach during the whole month of August. And according to the aesthetic surgeon, I will be able to preach on the very next Sunday. But the other doctor is more real, and he said, "Takes 2 Sundays off, and that will be much better." And from there, 8 months, and then again, another final surgery. So the Lord is good, and He, I'm not scared at all. I'm just delighted that there is a solution to something that my mother, see, I witnessed with my own eye, my mother at the age of 39 had no tooth whatsoever, and the disease ate all the gums and finally had no gums and finally died because the doctors don't know what to do, really, die of brain cancer because the whole thing moved up. And the doctors observed that on me, and they said, "We're going to stop it right where it is today." So thank God for America, I tell you. You don't know how blessed we are in this country, so precious, so rich in resources. I guess as a foreigner, I do appreciate it. And I'm glad I was born outside America. And so when I came here, I do appreciate all the things you don't see, perhaps. When I visit somebody in the hospital, I still amaze at the things that we have. And thanks the Lord for the nurse and doctors and the research that goes on in America that is impossible because no money in other countries. Having said that, let us stand and sing number 496. Why not? Victory in Jesus. I know this is the favor of one of my friends. Victory in Jesus. 496. 496. Let's sing with joy this wonderful song.
Our word about His glory.
please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest, our Lord, our Savior. And first and most, we want to thank you for allowing us to gather together as a church body and to be united by the blood of Christ and by the power of the Spirit of God. And then to have the purpose of praising your name and proclaim to others that in Jesus there is real freedom, that in Jesus there is real victory. And Father, we want to speak also to ourselves, because from time to time we need a recharge of our batteries. We run in a wall up and down, and we go through crisis and difficulties. And sometimes we cause those crises and difficulties, and sometimes it comes in our way. And we want to know what to do, Father. And the scripture for today relate to us the story of Israel in a very dramatic moment of their life. And then also relate the story that one man, under the influence and the power of God, caused Israel to trust you. God, may the scripture today, may the choir praise in your name, and may the meditation of your word today cause many to have victory over their own life. And for all of us, I pray that we may gain a strength for our life, that we may gain the security that in Christ Jesus there is victory, and victory alone. And so, Father, trusting what you're going to do with us, we praise your name. And we praise your name because other people in different areas of the country are listening to our broadcasts, all the way from Baltimore to Michigan and Texas, across the ocean in Italy and the other side in Japan. People are listening through the internet. And so, Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that you have provided for us an opportunity to share the word of the living God, the praises of your name, the worshiping service of our church with others, with the purpose that they too may come to know you, our Lord and Savior. Father, we do have missionaries across the world. We have Fred and Carol Lewis in Ukraine. We have Carol and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain. We have the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge for those in crisis. We have Ruben and Irene Zahert in Lodi, California, the sport association in the city of San Jose for the young people. Martha Poretti doing the work with the alcohol, with the drug addicts in Argentina. And so, Father, we pray that according to their need, these missionaries may know not only that we pray for them, but that we love them, and that the God of heaven, who empower us, will empower them as well. Thank you, Lord, that we do not depend on our possibilities and our own power, but in your possibilities and in your power. And as we go Sunday through Sunday in the church, we pray for those who are not with us today. A good bunch of our members are in vacation, and thank God that they can do it, Father. And I pray for each one of them, that they may enjoy the place where they are, and it is possible for them that today they may visit another house of worship where they can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and listen to the word of God explained by another pastor. Lord, bless these people who are away from us so that they may come back with renewed energies and with a great love to serve you again. We thank you, Lord, that you allow us to bring a Bible program distribution to the city of Morgan Hill. It is our goal to place 1,000 Bibles who are in our storage already. And Father, we pray that you guide our brother Pythagoras, and give him the wisdom necessary to make this distribution a success. We want every neighbor of ours to know that we love them. And the only way that they can know that we love them is because we're going to give them the most precious thing we have, thy word. And we pray, Father, that this word that is going to go out into their house will not return empty, but will return with a price, will return with someone believing in you. Father, it is our intention that these people may come to believe in you, and they may find a place to worship and to join a local church to serve you and to love you. Lord, we love the neighborhood. We respect our neighborhood. And the best thing we can do for them is to give the very, very word of the living God. We thank you, Lord, for the provision of this church. And we thank you for the members who very diligently provide for every detail, include for the pastor's need. And so, Father, I thank you that you have provided for us so that we can provide for the ministry of the gospel. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking from back to the church as the offertory takes place. I know you are not listening to the music at this moment, but we want to talk to you about the different areas in which our church can serve you. One is you can call me and chat with me and give me your prayer requests. Remember the phone number, 408 is the area code, 778-2595. During the month of August, we will have a basketball tournament between our people and perhaps between other people that are coming in. And we encourage, if you have young people in your family, to bring them in. We will start just at 3 p.m. after our second service. And we love to have all the young people around us to participate so that they can have fellowship with one another. And then they can listen to the Word of God explained by one of our elders. We love to help you. We love to offer our service to you. So if it's a need in your life, and if you need to talk to somebody, do not hesitate to call us. Again, 408-778-2595. Our answering machine will respond. You leave your message, and Pastor will be back with you. All right, we have a great service today for you, so let's join the service in progress. Thank you.
Jesus' love has never failed me yet. This one thing I know, wherever I go, Jesus' love has never failed me yet.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 189. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he is come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Blessed be the word of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for having called us to believe in the person and the great work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for having provided us with everything we need and every blessing in him. We are grateful that he has done for us that which we couldn't do for ourselves. His victory is our victory, for which we thank you that he has given us through faith. We pray that you will grant us the ability and the strength to do the work which you have given us to do. We pray now for our pastor, your servant Gabriel Otero, as he comes again to bring the whole counsel from your word. To us here and to those listening on the radio and the internet, give us understanding so that we may apply the wisdom of your word to our lives. For those who are in unbelief, we pray for mercy, that you would draw them to Christ, that they might not be condemned in the day of judgment. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. This passage of the scripture has many surprises. But we want to look this morning especially at two of them. One, a good surprise, and the other, a bad surprise. Now, let me give you a little background leading up to the historical event so you can see what I am talking about to you. In 1 Samuel, chapter 17, which is found in the Bible there in the pew on page 189, if you're using that Bible, we are told these few things. Number one, the army of the Philistines had gathered on a hillside. And then secondly, the army of Israel had gathered on the opposite side. You look in chapter 17, verse 1 to 3, the Bible said, Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together in Socoh, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azekah in Ephah-Sadamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And verse 3 says, And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So as you see, the army of Israel has gathered together in the opposite side of the army of the Philistines. Now, as the men and these two large armies stood looking to each other, the 9-foot-tall giant Goliath stepped out of the Philistines to face the army of Israel. Look in verse 4, 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, Goliath have challenged the soldiers of Israel, saying, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Look in verse 10 what he said. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, David had come along to bring his brothers some food and got involved in this by accident, I will say, or by the purpose of God. If you look with me in verse 12, the Bible said, now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse, Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the first is born, and next to him Abinadab, and third is Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest follow Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father sheep at Bethlehem. And then if you remember this story, as our brother wrote, the father said, they need food. You better go and bring food to your people. And you look in verse 25. And the men of Israel said to David, have ye seen this man that has come up? And they say this because David was now in the battlefield. And then in verse 23 tell us that as he talked with them, as he talked to his brothers, behold, there came up a champion, the champion of Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So David was talking to his brethren and trying to supply food to his brethren, and then the Philistine comes up and speaks those words, defying the army of God, the army of Israel. And here is this boy from the countryside. The Bible describes him as short, hairy man in his chest, blonde, very, very calm, very humble fellow. And he hears what this man is saying to the army of Israel and to the nation of Israel as a whole. So all of us can relate somewhat to the situation. That's what I want to speak today to the body of Christ, the church, the body of believers. And I say this because all of us have faced or are facing some big, ugly giant, or perhaps giants in our lives, and they seem too big for us to handle. You maybe are in a situation for too long, and you say, how long this is going to be? Looks like this giant that I'm facing in my life, whether it is physical, mental, or emotional, is too big for me to handle. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give you the clues of the victory in your life, because that's what happened here. So there are 2 surprises to me. As I read the passage, I was surprised in one way and surprised in the other. Let's deal with the first surprise that I discovered. Now, the reason we are surprised is because the army of Israel, as you know this, was filled with many brave trained soldiers. Ladies and gentlemen, when Israel put an army together, are the elites of the elites of the soldiers that you can have. You can read the book of Joshua, you can read the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, undefeated. If they follow God, that army was so well trained, so well prepared, afraid of nothing, undefeated. And so that's a surprise to me. These army here were not an army of wimps. They were brave soldiers. They know how to defend Israel. They have won battle after battle, but when they were confronted and challenged to match one man against the giant, every Israelite soldier was fearful and wanted to flee. Two things about their situation are similar to things we face that can cause us, you and I, to be afraid of in our life. And I'm going to deal with these two things. Number one, the things we hear can cause us to fear. Look with me in verse 11 in 1 Samuel 17. We read these words. When Saul and all Israel, now look at the word, heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Things that we hear have tremendous influence in us. I want to say it again. Things that we hear have tremendous influence on us. Words have meaning, and they can be used to build us up or to tear us down. My friend, never underestimate the damage that words can do. So be careful when you talk to your children, when you talk to one another. Never underestimate the damage words can do. They can permanently scar a marriage or any kind of relationship. We also must never underestimate the power of words to build up people. However, the words spoken to the army of Israel served their purpose. They brought discouragement and fear. These trained soldiers flee away. They move away. Perhaps some of you have heard some startling words and they have shaken you. Perhaps some of you have heard that you may be laid off from the job you have invested years of your life into and plan to retire them. Perhaps some bad news from doctors, and you do not know what the end result will be. If you are with me, I want to know before a surgery, what is the end of that surgery? And if they say, we don't know, then it brings you a question mark. Perhaps your very best friend has some awful thing to say about you, and now your heart is crushed. That happened. There are all kinds of things that we hear every day. And if we aren't carefully, we will allow those things to become a 9-foot giant that will discourage us and bring fear to you and bring fear to me. This is exactly what caused the army of Israel to become fearful. Words from a giant. Just words. Words from a giant. What we hear is not only things that can bring fear to our life, but notice also, I say there were two things that brought fear. First is what we hear, but also the thing we see can cause us fear. Listen, if the soldiers had all been blind, perhaps they would not have been so fearful, but they could see that 9-foot giant as well as they can hear him. If you look in verse 24, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they saw the giant, fled from him and were sore afraid. See, that was not the kind of reaction you will expect to be exhibited by trained soldiers who had fought and won many battles in the life of Israel. But they did saw the man, and they did fear him. This is our first surprise. I'm surprised that the army of Israel. In the Bible, when you hear the army, you know who was the host of the armies of Israel? The very captain of the army of Israel? The incarnate Lord Jesus. The pre-incarnate presence of Jesus was the host of the armies. The King James translates that word, the host of the army of Israel, which is a pre-incarnate state of our Savior. That was the leader of that army. And Israel was fearful. What a surprise when a Christian is fearful. Surprise me when a Christian is depressed. Surprise me when I want to include myself, are in confusion, when panic. My wife and I have heard from a good dear friend of ours, words like, I'm confused and trembling. From a good dear friend from the East Coast, sharing with me that after listening to the Word of God, he is confused and fearful. You know, that's not, and I know that he is a giant in himself in the gospel. And he comes to me and said, Pastor, I'm confused and I'm fearful. Now, this happened to the army of God. You are the army of God. And it's a surprise to somebody else when the army of God is run away. What is left then if the army of God run away? If the Christians run away from facing their responsibilities? What do we expect? Well, there is a good surprise. There was the surprise of the fearful, and is the surprise of the faithful, I would say. Basically, we meet two kinds of people each day. Those who live in fear and are scared to death, and those who faithfully serve the Lord. Not knowing what happened tomorrow, but you serve the Lord. Those who serve the Lord are not afraid. They may be in trouble, but not afraid. They know that the God they serve can take care of them. And David was such a person. And I want to make some remarks for you and for me so that we take hold of these principles. And when we are facing a 9-foot giant in our life, or if you are facing a 9-foot giant in your life, here are the tools for you to face it. Number one, David saw Goliath, but did not fear. When David saw the 9-foot giant, it did not frighten him in the slightest form. Look what happened when David arrived to the scene, verse 22 and 23. And David left his carriage in the hands of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. Now notice, when David came, he saw the same thing that the army of Israel has seen, but David's reaction to seeing Goliath was entirely different from the one the army of Israel had. The men of Israel's army thought he is too big to fight against. And David thought the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You saw that? David saw that big giant, but did not fear him in the slightest form. What was the difference then between David and the men of the army of Israel? They all were people of Israel. They all were believers. What's the difference between a whole bunch of soldiers, well-trained, with great abilities, and David, a little tiny boy from the field. I look on it, and I say, how come this guy, who just is with the sheep around all the time, giving food and so on, is not afraid of this 9-foot giant and these mighty soldiers with everything in their hand? They were afraid. Well, number one, the trained soldiers who were afraid had been trained to depend on their skills and their weapon. The trained soldiers depend on what I can do and how I can confront the situation. They took one look to Goliath and knew they did not want to confront him with their skills and with their weapons. They knew they were no match for such a giant. Now listen carefully, it's a great lesson in this. Number two, David was a shepherd boy who had learned how to depend on God. He took one look at Goliath and decided that Goliath will be no trouble at all to the God that he serves. Not to him, to the God that he serves. When our problems are bigger than the God we serve, we got a problem. When our problems are bigger than the God that you and I serve, then we got a problem. Sometimes our abilities and our resources can be our worst enemies. You know that? Our abilities and our resources can be our worst enemy. We all are going to meet some giants, and we are going to discover that, number one, even with all our abilities, we are still inadequate. And even with all our resources, we are still inadequate. But one day, we will be confronted with a giant, and we will recognize that the only thing we can do is to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. David was a shepherd boy. David, as a shepherd boy, was not like those trained soldiers that have learned to trust in their skills and in their abilities. All he knew was that the giant had blasphemed the name of his God, and somebody had to do something about it. And if no one else will do it, I will do it. That's all. Wow. A believer. This is what we call a believer. If somebody is not going to do something, I will do it. And David saw the giant, but he was not afraid. Secondly, David heard Goliath, but did not fear. David heard the same threatening words that the Israelite soldiers had heard and had caused them to want to run and hide. But there was one vast difference. David did not run. David did not run. What made the difference between David and the soldiers? They both have seen and heard the same things. The difference was the soldiers of Israel were trusting in themselves and their weapons. And they knew what confronted them was more than they were able to cope with. And so because when we trust in ourselves, our confrontation measure, and we see that we cannot handle. David, a soldier of God, was not trusting in himself at all. He knew that the giant Goliath was no bigger than the grasshopper in the eyes of God, and whom he trusts. David faced a giant, but he had a giant faith in God. That was, to me, the great difference. If you turn your Bible to the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 4, that in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible is page 719. If you turn your Bible to 1 John 4 and verse 18, the Bible gives you a clue for the believer. The page that we have is 719 in the New Testament page in the pew in the Bible. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You saw that? Look at the faith in the life of David. He caused him to walk without fear. He talked without fear. Go back to 1 Samuel 17 and page 190 of the Old Testament and look at verse 45 and 47. Then say David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's the name of Christ, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defy. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Look at that. You see that? And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's the difference. Not that the earth may know that he is mighty or that he is powerful, but that the earth may know that working through David, there is a God in the land of Israel. And all these assemblies shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. My brother and my sister, every day battle is the Lord's battle. That makes a difference. Not only he was able to talk without fear, he was able to walk without fear. Look at verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He did not run away. That was just the opposite of what the army of Israel have done. When Goliath spoke, they ran from him. When David heard him speak, he ran toward the giant to face the situation. Well, I want to give you the conclusion, because you know the end. The guy, I used to kill cats with a sling. He just run. Don't do that. He do like this and throw the little stone and kill the fellow. And the only place that can hit him, right here in the front head. Don't tell me that God don't took that stone and put it there. So I want to have a great conclusion for you and for me. Because we face difficulties. We face sickness. Now, when the doctors told me, you need to rebuild your face, otherwise whatever you have is going to go to your brain and you're gone, I was not afraid. Neither when they told me the price. And neither when I knew I had no insurance for that. No ever spend a minute in prayer about it. I just had a peace of heart and a peace of mind that according to God is going to be done. So then how do we get rid of the giants in our life? How? What we have learned is this. We are no match for any giant we may come up against in our lives. But God is more than a match for any all of them. You and I cannot face any giant tomorrow, but God can do it. I want to assure you that. I want to give you two verses for you to remember. One in the New Testament, in 1 John 4:4, page 719 again. This time is John 4:4, 1 John 4:4. You know it by heart, but I want you to believe it. I want you to believe it. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My brother and my sister, greater is God than the whole economy of the United States of America. Greater is God than your employer. Greater is God than all the sickness that we can face. God is greater. Read the book of Hebrews every morning if you don't believe me. Greater than, seven times, greater than. I do it so that I can build myself up and know that my God is greater than. But you have to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, then you are afraid. I want you to move your Bible to the left, to Colossians 1:27. That's page 694. Colossians 1:27. Remember these two things as you face giants in your life. God is greater than. And number two, Colossians 1:27, page 694, said this: it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is Christ in us. At the end of the text said, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Therefore, do not give up. Just confront them in the power of God, and he will get the victory and the glory. We have no power in ourselves. I agree. We have no resources in ourselves. I agree. But God has all the power, all the resources, and I want to trust God. That's what we pray on Wednesday night. We melt ourselves and pray and ask God to do what we cannot do. That's what we have prayer. Prayer is not an option. It's the tool that tells you and me, God is greater than my problems. God is me crying to you and telling you, I need you. And when you humble yourself, God works. And God gives the victory. People ask, how in the world your church is support? I read in the paper, churches are cutting 23% in personnel and things because they had no resources. I never dreamed I would have no resources. When we started this church, I never worry about the resources. I will work free if necessary. What I was worried is that people get saved. And you think that God's not going to honor that? Look at the place we are today. It's humble, but it's God's place. Was handled to us. When we had the moment to acquire this place, there was a tremendous amount of money in 1988, $230,000. I just took two phone calls, Cassandra and Castle, to bring the money, pay here. So how are we going to pay? I'll tell you later. Just put here the money. And they put the money. And we got the place. And we paid them back. And we have money in the bank. We need to start trusting God. We need to trust God that each Bible that our brother Pythagoras and those who work with him will handle in the hands of people will turn those people around. And the city of Morgan Hill, far from being known as a city of drugs and problems, will be known as a city who loves the Lord. Whether they come here or not, it's not my problem. The problem is this. I want them to know God. And God is going to honor that. We don't do things well. We try. We've never tried. We do things knowing that God is going to do it. I never went to a banquet thinking I need $100,000. I will try. I knew I would have that money. And I never forgot in Boston, when my wife and I don't know how to put money, I handle my coat to the president of the radio. He said, this coat is full of money. You people count it. I don't want to know. People were, there were no enough envelopes, so the people were putting in Raquel's purse and put money and money and money. He said, hey, just count these. I have no, I don't want to touch it. It's full of money. We have $880,000. And we bought the facilities and operate the facilities on a $10 million, having only $880,000. And the offering was $12 million next year. You see, I'm not dealing with my resources. I'm dealing with God's resources. Don't deal in your life limited. Don't limit yourself to what you can do and I can do. Just let God do it. Trust Him. Whether it's sickness, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, let God do it. And He will conquer that giant in your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that You conquer the giants in our life. Oh, help us not to do it in our own strength. Help us not to do it in our own effort. Help us not to do it with our own understanding, but to do it in the fear of God, trusting that You are able to do it. And oh, when all things is done, we're going to be careful to give You the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to all. Strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in Jesus.